The New York Yankees' woes continue as they lose 2 of 3 games to the Toronto Blue Jays in Florida. What is going on with this New York Yankees team? We are going to recap the series as a whole and look ahead to a big series against the Tampa Bay Rays this weekend. All this and more on this brand new episode of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, which begins right now.
You are listening to the Pinstripe Talk podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to yet another edition of the Pinstripe Talk podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. It has not been fun to be a Yankee fan so far early on this year. The Yankees drop another series, especially in the American League East Division. They lose 2 of 3 games to the Toronto Blue Jays. I don't even know what else to say at this point. There's a lot to digest. There's a lot to go over. There's a lot to discuss. And of course, we're going to go through it for you on this brand new episode of our show. Before we get started, reminder, you can follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND, my personal account at Nick Delahanty. Find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. Now, we love talking Yankees baseball. We definitely love to hear your feedback and your interactions with us throughout the show and throughout the weeks as the games go on. So make sure you're interacting with us during the season and whatnot. And we just love that interaction. So make sure you're hitting us up on whatever social media platform you choose. And again, if you're new to our show, we thank you for taking some time out of your busy schedule to listen to us rant about the Yankees. If you're a returning member, we thank you for your loyalty and that you continue to come back and listen to us rant about the Yankees. Easiest way to say it. Haven't done so already, find us on any podcasting platform, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, Google Play Music, you name it, our show is there available for you. You can subscribe, you can rate, you can review. All the feedback does go a long way in helping promote our show. So please, take some time out of your busy schedules to do that. And as always, check out our brand, DelahantyMedia.com, for all the latest news and updates regarding our show and some new things that we have in store for you. After a brutal series in Tampa Bay where the Yankees lost 2 of 3 there, they turned their attention to the Toronto Blue Jays, and it was a rematch from opening weekend. The Blue Jays have a good young squad, and nobody's going to take anything away from them. But for this Yankee team that has such high expectations, I think everybody was just hoping that this series would help get them on the right track. Obviously, we talked about it on our last show. The Yankees usually get off to slow starts over the last couple of years, and they find a way to get back on track. But this team has just been very sluggish out of the gate. And what better way to kind of rejuvenate your squad than to have Gerrit Cole on the mound? And once again, Cole was phenomenal. Went 6 strong, allowed a run in the first inning, nothing else, just 3 hits overall, 8 strikeouts. He also retired the last 15 Blue Jay hitters that he faced. In this game, Cole became the first pitcher in Yankee history with 8 strikeouts or more, and 2 runs or fewer allowed in each of his first 3 games of the season. He also tied David Cone for the most strikeouts through his first 3 starts of a season, and he has 29. That's the record that Cone set back in 1997. Cole's phenomenal. Was phenomenal in this one, and he gave the Yankees everything they needed and more to win the game. Offensively, the Yankees did nothing, only 4 hits. But thanks to Kyle Higashioka, Yankees were able to win this ball game. All the offense came from the power of Higgy. In the 5th inning, he hits a 2-run homer, 416 feet to right center field, scoring Odor, gives the Yankees a 2-1 lead. They would hold on to that lead for good. But in the 8th inning, provides a little extra insurance, hits a 427-foot bomb to left center field. That's all the Yankees offense would do in this one. Higashioka was incredible. The Yankees bullpen comes in and is lights out. Wilson to O'Day to Chapman to end the game, and the Yankees take the first game of the series. Other than Higashioka, like I said, the rest of the Yankees lineup really didn't do much. Really bad day for DJ LeMay, who struck out 3 times. I think the machine needs to be re-oiled or retooled. He just doesn't look right at the plate right now. In this game, the Yankees did not get a hit from their first 6 guys in the lineup. All the damage was done at the bottom half. Odor was 1-for-3. Higashioka had 2 hits and 3 at-bats. And then Tauchman, who played center field due to the fact that Aaron Hicks sat out because of the shooting in Minnesota. So the Yankees got nothing from their top guns in the lineup. The bottom half of the order carried the load in this one. And you got to say to yourself, you know what? You'll take the win. It wasn't a pretty performance by any means on the offensive side of the ball, but Higashioka's big day helps bring home a much-needed victory for the New York Yankees. Now, let's turn to Game 2. Jameson Taillon on the mound. And when you're looking at this Yankees team, a lot of what's going to happen is going to be dictated on how the starting pitching holds up. And Taillon and Kluber are two very big question marks for this Yankees team. We don't know what to expect from them, but you do need to see them progress as the year goes on. Unfortunately, Taillon did not have it again in this one. Did not get out of the fourth inning, allowed 5 earned runs. Threw 84 pitches, was really not effective. Just a very frustrating performance for him. Yankees end up having to go to the bullpen in the fourth inning, like I stated earlier. And they had to use guys like Lickey, Sessa, Abreu to finish off the game. Nonetheless, the bullpen did the job. Only allowed 2 runs over the final couple of innings of play. The Yankees offense was not able to do enough. Let's give you a little bit of a recap. The Blue Jays did most of their damage from the second to the fourth inning. By the end of the fourth inning, they held a 5-0 lead, chipped in another run in the fifth to make it 6-0 at the time. The Yankees' bats don't come alive till the seventh inning when Odor grounds out the second, scoring Gary Sanchez. Then you got an RBI single from Giancarlo Stanton, scoring Frazier and LeMahieu. But at that point, it was not enough. Yankees lose this ballgame 7-3. Couple of big hits in this one. Simeon homered off of Taillon in the fourth. Tellez homered off of Lickey in the fifth. Those were two big blasts. You know, the Blue Jays combined for 10 hits. Yankees only had 8. And it was just frustrating. They couldn't get to Ryu. Ryu went 6 2/3, only allowed a run, which wasn't even earned. He was fantastic. You know, got to give him credit where credit's due. Kept the Yankees off balance. They had a lot of unprofessional at-bats against him. Struck out 8 times as a team. And right there, there's your ball game. Some standouts for the Yankees. LeMahieu had 2 hits and 3 at-bats. Aaron Hicks in his return from the lineup, we all know how he's been struggling. Aaron Boone elected to drop him to 5th in the order. The move paid off. He went 3-for-4 in this one. No other Yankee had more than 1 hit. So the combination of LeMahieu and Hicks combined for 5 of the Yankees' 8 total hits. Very disappointing after a nice win with Cole on the mound. But my thought process on this after this game was, yeah, Taillon didn't have it. And if you don't get any length or effectiveness out of your starter, it is a recipe for disaster 9 times out of 10. There's not going to be many instances where you're going to have your starter struggle early on in games and then your bullpen come in, hold it down, and your team still find a way to win. The Yankees are going to need better starting pitching, and we're going to talk about that later on in the show. Regardless, Game 3, the rubber game. Yankees have a chance to win the series before an off day, before they head back to the Bronx to host the Tampa Bay Rays. And early on, it was off to a good start. And yes, I'm going to attack the lineup for Game 3 toward the end of the show. I don't want you to think that I forgot about it. Aaron Judge hits his first of 2 home runs in the first inning, gets the Yankees up 1-0. Corey Kluber on the mound, him looking for a bounce-back start after a subpar start in his last time out. He didn't have it as well. Just 4 innings of work, allowed 3 runs over that span, threw 77 pitches. He still has not figured it out totally. There are times where he looks really sharp. There's other times where he looks like he is very much struggling on the mound, and that is not good for this Yankees team. So, here's how the scoring went down. You had the Judge homer in the first. Then you had a Kirk homer in the second off of Kluber, scoring 2 runs. Bo Bichette, who tormented the Yankees in this series, hit a home run in the third, followed by the Yankees scoring a couple of runs to regain the lead in the fourth, started with a Judge homer to center, and then an Urshela single to left, scoring 2. Yankees held a 4-3 lead at that point. In the bottom half of the sixth inning with Loaisiga on the mound, Tellez scored on a wild pitch, which tied up the game. And then in the bottom half of the ninth inning against Chad Green, Bo Bichette poked, and I mean poked, a little walk-off home run to right center field. Just got out, and the Blue Jays win the game and thus win the series. So with the loss, the Yankees drop to 5-7 overall. Not the start they envisioned, obviously, but it's the start that they put themselves into. Now, offensively, Judge had a big day. He was 3-for-4, had the 2 home runs, 2 RBIs. You know the deal. Judge is, when he's on, he's on. The Yankees as a whole only had 6 hits. So Judge had half of their hits in this ballgame, as opposed to the Blue Jays, 12 hits total. So you're seeing the correlation. The Blue Jays were getting on base more. They were hitting with runners in scoring position when they needed to. There was a big gap between the two teams in this series. Now, there are a couple of points that I want to bring up in regards to this series. And I'm going to start on the pitching end. Okay? Going into the season, we all knew that the Yankees' rotation was going to be filled with question marks. We all understood that because you were taking a gamble on Kluber. You were taking a gamble on Tyone. You know you have Luis Severino coming back at some point. But this Yankees rotation is still a little thin. And when you have Kluber and Tyone going less than 5 innings on back-to-back days, you're going to end up taxing the bullpen. And the question that I have and the concern that I have, the bullpen's been phenomenal. They rank among the best in all of baseball. You're looking at 6 to 7 guys deep, and that's even missing Zach Britton. But how long can this Yankees bullpen hold up before they start to show signs of fatigue and wearing down? They're effective now. They've been really good. Yeah, Chad Green led up the home run to Bichette in the 3rd game of the series. You know, some guys scatter runs here and there, but they've been mightily effective. Even guys like Lickie, Sessa, you saw a little of Albert Abreu before he was optioned back to AAA. You see these guys that are stepping up and performing at this level, and you're not getting it from your starting pitching in return. Other than Cole, this Yankees rotation is a big, and I mean big, question mark. Do you think that the Yankees are kicking themselves early on at this point for taking a gamble on some of these guys and not going out and trading for, say, a Lance Lynn or making a move for a more durable starting pitcher? I don't know. I don't know what's going on in Brian Cashman's mind. Quite frankly, they may just think that they're trying to figure it out. But all I do know is this. The struggles are going to continue as long as the starting pitching cannot hold up. Yes, Kluber is a guy that has an impressive resume. But he is nowhere near the guy from a couple of years ago. You expect and you hope that he's a guy that can at least go out every 5th day and give you a quality outing. Maybe 5 or 6 innings. Not allow a lot of runs. Limit the damage. Things like that. And with Tyone, we expected him to come out and be a little rusty, obviously. All the things that he's battled. You know, these guys do need time. But how much time do you give them to figure it out before you start to make changes? We know that Friday, with the Rays coming into the Bronx, we're going to see either Michael King, Davey Garcia, or have a bullpen game. At what point do you think the Yankees start to say, you know, maybe Garcia's a better option. Maybe King's a better option. Once Clark Schmidt gets healthy, maybe he's a better option. Or do they tie themselves to Kluber saying, you know, we're paying this guy a lot of money for 1 year. We're going to try to get the most out of him. It's a tricky, tricky situation. And I don't know the right answer, to be quite honest with you. All I hope is that they're trying to figure this out and that Matt Blake's working with them and we're trying to get them back on track. Because I know for a fact, when Cole's name's not scheduled to start, I'm very worried about what we're going to get from the starting pitching. And I just hope that at least 2 to 3 of these guys can figure it out so we can at least save the bullpen a little bit, because we all know how taxing of a season it is. And if the Yankees want to make a deep run in the postseason, they need those guys as fresh as possible. Now, the offense. I don't know about you guys, and I want to hear your opinions. You can tweet me. You can hit me up on the Facebook page, whatever you want to do. But I was thinking about past years and how they've started. And, yeah, there's been some inconsistencies offensively. But I don't think I've seen a team that's had so many uncompetitive at-bats as this one. They're looking at good pitches, swinging at bad ones. They're watching great pitches go right down the plate. And I'm sitting at home, I'm like, I could hit that. Like, what are you waiting for? They ground out into double plays more than any team in baseball. You get a runner on base and magically they just hit into a double play. It's amazing. I don't know what the answer is. And I think it has to do with the everyday lineup. First and foremost, I was okay with it before the season. And I admit when I was wrong. But Aaron Hicks does not belong in the three hole. And I've been telling this to my buddies. You can ask them. And when we're in our group chat. But I keep saying the minute they move him out of the three hole, he's going to figure it out. He is not your prototypical three hitter. He's not a guy, yes, he hits for power, but he's not a guy that is going to hit for power every time. Draws a lot of walks, sees a lot of pitches. He is your perfect one or nine hitter. And essentially, yeah, you could keep him in the middle of the lineup if you want to create some flexibility and some versatility in terms of left-handed and right-handed, whatever you want to work on. But the three hole is not it. You saw when he was in the five hole, he thrived. Why? The pressure's off. And I'm not saying that Judge and Stanton have to hit back-to-back, but you got to find a way in which one of them is hitting two and one of them is hitting four and have somebody in the middle, whether it's Gleyber Torres, whether it's Luke Voit when he returns, whether you move down in the lineup DJ LeMahieu. You got to work on something. You got to figure something out. The other thing, the Jay Bruce experiment should be over. Yes, LeMahieu had the day off to kind of clear his head after his early season struggles, but Bruce is not the answer. And again, I thought it was going to be a good idea to keep him on the bench, play him every couple of days, but with Voit's injury, he was thrusted into a kind of everyday role and has greatly stunk. Offensively, defensively, if you don't throw the ball right to him, he's not catching it. My question is, why didn't they try Mike Ford yet? That's my only question about that. Is it because they gave Bruce $1 million and are hoping he could figure it out? I don't know. But I would give Ford a chance and see what he's got. You know, it can't be much worse than what you've gotten so far. And I like the dynamic of LeMahieu and Odor, and I think Odor adds some professional at-bats and competitive at-bats. But I think that in order to get some more left-handed pop, Ford may be a solid answer or solid option for them to look at. And I would like to see it happen. You know, I think it's just time that Bruce goes. You have Tauchman. You have plenty of outfielders. I think that it was worth the shot, but I would let Jay Bruce go. And I think that 12 games in, we've seen enough, and he's shown enough that, you know, it's just not a right fit at this time. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. They took a gamble, so be it. But at the end of the day, you got to put the best nine out there in any situation possible, and I don't think he's in that best nine. Now, speaking of best nine, you all heard me rant the other day on our last show about Brett Gardner. And yes, you can call me a Brett Gardner hater. I am not a Brett Gardner hater. I actually appreciate everything Gardner has done for this organization. However, Aaron Boone has lied to me, and he continues to lie to me, just like he says that Gerrit Cole does not have a personal catcher. Gerrit Cole has a personal catcher, and Brett Gardner and Clint Frazier platoon in the outfield. He is not your starting left fielder. The things that he keeps showing us continue to indicate that the Yankees are not sold on him being an everyday player. I said it on the last show. Numerous guys have struggled out of the gate. Aaron Hicks. You look at Urshela wasn't very hot at the beginning of the year. Gleyber Torres, although he had a hit streak, he wasn't very good. LeMahieu struggled. Jay Bruce struggled. And yet notice, the only one really singled out that was quote-unquote benched, in a nicer way, was Clint Frazier. Why is that? I really wish I could tell you. I don't know. But I'm starting again the Free Clint chant. Free the man. I get it. Gardner's an important part of your organization. He has been for years. But what does Gardner do for you past this year? Please tell me. What is Brett Gardner bringing to the table in 2022? This has been 3 years of stunting Clint Frazier's growth. And you mean to tell me that when Gardner retires, eventually, Frazier's going to be your everyday left fielder, and you're going to have struggles, and then you're going to say, oh, why is he struggling? Because you didn't give him an opportunity to work out of his struggles and to figure it out and become an everyday big leaguer. It's messed up. It makes no sense. And I'm getting tired of the excuses. I'm getting tired of the blame. And I'm tired of Boone's press conferences where he's saying, oh, yeah, Clint will rake, but today I'm going to play Gardner. No! No, no, no. It is Clint Frazier's time in the Bronx. He should be playing on an everyday basis. If he's not out there 6 days a week, there's something wrong with the Yankees organization. If you're going to keep playing games with him, trade him. Let him thrive somewhere else. Get something that may help you. Heck, he could probably get you the pitching that you need. Why are we playing this game with Clint Frazier? I want to know. I want answers. I want legitimate answers. I'm getting tired of this, having to rant on my show about them not playing him. Every single day you look at the lineup, and it's more and more pathetic. Game 3's lineup had Gardner in the 3-hole. Brett Gardner in the 3-hole. Aaron Hicks, Brett Gardner, like, what do they think? The 3-hole's a joke? Then your bottom of the order. You had Bruce. You know, it is what it is with him. You had to get LeMahieu a day off. Hicks hitting 179 leading off. Bruce 118. Odor in limited at-bats hasn't really gotten on base, but has put up good at-bats at least. You don't know what you're going to get out of Higashioka. Hits 2 home runs the other day. Gets no hits in this game. The Yankees combined for 6 total hits. Like, what are we doing? Any way to mess with a young player's mind is to not play them on a consistent basis when they know they're your best option wherever it may be. I'm having trouble understanding this, and I'm getting very frustrated by it. But I am going to say this. Free Clint. That's all I'm going to say. Free the man. Either play him every day or trade him. Enough of the charade. Enough of the Aaron Boone garbage of balancing the lineup. Brett Gardner is not it. If you're going to play him for Hicks in center field. Get him in at bat there. Let him play one day in left field. Let him play a day in right field because we know Judge don't play every day. And go from there. I'm tired of this game. I'm tired of talking about it. I just want to see Clint Frazier in the everyday lineup because I think he can thrive in New York. The kid's talented. He's a special talent. Let him play. Stop stunting his growth. Now, before we wrap up today's show, we're looking ahead to the weekend, the big series in the Bronx between the Yankees and the Rays. The Yankees will most likely use an opener or Davey Garcia or Michael King on Friday against the Rays. The rest of the rotation is a little bit iffy. We don't know how it's going to look, but the one thing we can tell you, it does look like we'll get an afternoon game on Saturday in the Bronx with Glasnow and Cole on the mound. That should be an exciting one. After Glasnow just lit up the world with his last performance. And in the third game, which is Sunday, it'll be at 1 o'clock. We still don't know who is going to be pitching. It may be Jordan Montgomery, it may be Tyone. Who knows? We're going to have to wait for more information from Aaron Boone and company. They may lie to us, considering they've been telling us lies about Clint Frazier this whole time. So who knows until it actually happens? Albert Abreu was optioned to AAA, which means that they are going to be calling up somebody. It could be King, it could be Garcia. We just simply don't know at this point. But we do have an injury update. Clark Schmidt, who is having elbow trouble again, he had a cortisone injection. They're hoping he could resume throwing by the end of this week or next week. So I don't know about you, but I just want to see this Yankee team play to the level they're capable of playing. It's been a lackluster start, a very frustrating start. I sit there, I watch the Yankees, and my stress levels go higher than they need to be, but I still have faith they're going to turn it around. And I may be too optimistic, but I just think this team has too much talent to just fall to the wayside. Yeah, April's a tough month. Got to get back on track. Hopefully, this weekend will be the trick and we'll get them back to where they need to be. You know, take two or three from Tampa, and that puts you right back in the right direction. So, it's fixable. The problems they're having are work throughable, per se. I don't even know if that's a word. But you can work through them. Let's see what this Yankees team has. And let's see if they can. Because that's going to be a big question that's going to surround them. So, if you haven't done so already, follow us on social media at Pinstripe Talk ND. My personal account, Nick Delahanty. And you can find us on Facebook by searching up Pinstripe Talk Podcast. We're also on Instagram by looking up Delahanty Media. And as you guys should already know, our show is available on all podcasting platforms, starting with Apple Podcast, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, you name it, the show is there available for you. We also put our audio on our YouTube stream. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, search up Delahanty Media. And as always, whatever podcasting platform you listen on, subscribe, rate, and review. We appreciate all the support that we do get. And while you're at it, go buy some merch. DelahantyMedia.com for all your latest merch from our store. You can buy some Pinstripe Talk gear. You can buy some Delahanty Media gear. You name it. It's there available for you. Hopefully next show is a little more fun and I won't have to go on a rant about Clint Frazier again. As you guys know, I'm a big Clint Frazier guy. I just want to see him play. And I want to see this Yankees team do better. And I know you guys do as well. That's going to wrap up today's show. Once again, this is the Pinstripe Talk Podcast, powered to you by Delahanty Media. I'm your host, Nick Delahanty. Don't give up, Yankees fans. Keep those pinstripes on. Make sure you're wearing them with pride. And let's hope that the Yankees are on the verge of getting back on track. Make sure you're following our brand for all the latest news and updates regarding our show. Until next time, we'll talk to you really soon. Take care. Go Yanks.